This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Last weekend, I told you the story of little Sarah Murnahan, 10 years old, who desperately needs a new lung. She suffers from cystic fibrosis. And kids who have cystic fibrosis, if they can get a lung transplant, they have a much better chance of surviving. Without it, Sarah probably only has a few weeks to live. She has been on the waiting list for pediatric donors for 18 months, but pediatric donors are quite rare, and her condition is worsening, so her family and her doctors tried to get her onto the adult transplant list. But she's 10, and adults for transplants don't start until 12 years old. So her attorney, Chad Holtzman, has been doing everything he possibly could, including appealing to Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and on Wednesday went to a federal judge to try to get something done there as well. He seems to have at least won a first step in changing the way transplants are handled for kids in this country, and so we've asked Chad to join us here. Chad, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for having me on.
First of all, how is Sarah today?
Sarah is severely ill. She has been in the intensive care unit at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for the last 110 consecutive days. And according to testimony from her doctor, without a new set of donated lungs, Sarah will die in the next few weeks.
So last week you went to a federal judge. First you appealed to Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of HHS, and she said, look, I can't make this decision because it shouldn't be up to somebody like me to step in and have one person make this decision. And so you went to a federal judge, and what happened there?
We brought an emergency motion for a temporary restraining order, seeking the judge to set aside the rule that discriminates against children under 12. And the judge granted our temporary relief.
So does that mean that Sarah is on a list, and if an adult donates a lung in the next few days, she gets one?
Yes. To be clear, it's not so much about getting her on the list, but equal treatment on the list. As it stands now, if a doctor says a child can be on the adult list, the child goes on, but then is at the bottom of the list. And it's only after every other adult declines the lung that a child under 12 would receive it. As a practical matter, that means if the lung were to reach the bottom of the list, it would not be medically suitable.
Yeah, that seems like putting her on the list is the same as not putting her on the list.
Yes, and so equal treatment on the list would give her the same opportunity as adults over 12 to receive the next set of donated lungs.
Now, it's my understanding that the way transplants are handled for lungs and other organs in this country is effectively that the patients who need them are triaged by medical professionals, and they determine who needs this the most, and that person is the one who they try to get that transplant to. Is that correct?
That is correct, and we are not attacking the doctors. They are well-intended, and they try their hardest for all the patients. This is just one aspect of the rule that we think is constitutionally discriminatory, and that's why we brought the case before the federal judge.
So you're saying, look, this is a sick person. It doesn't matter whether it's an adult or a child. This is a sick person, and she is sick enough that if you triaged her, she'd be at the top of the list and would probably get one of the next possible lung transplants that would match her little body.
That's correct. We think the rule should not be so rigid that an under 12-year-old cannot receive the next set of donated lungs.
Okay. Have you talked to the Secretary of HHS personally about this?
I have not.
Okay. Because when she says, I can't be the one person who makes this decision, she's probably right that we don't want a politician involved in this medical decision, right?
Yes. And my law firm has wrote her a letter and asked her to explain why she would not change the rule, and also asking her to set aside the rule. And there are professionals in place that look at this, but under the law, this policy must be reviewed from time to time, and we think, as it stands currently, it's discriminatory, and that's why we brought the case, because we think that this case has merits, and the policy should at least be reviewed again.
All right, so you got the temporary restraining order from U.S. District Judge Michael Bailson, and I understand that in the courtroom, he actually asked, are there other children who would fit into this category? And not only was there another one, you're now representing that boy. Is that correct?
That's correct. We believe that there's fewer than 16 children that this rule affects nationwide. And the judge made clear that when he granted the temporary restraining order, it only applied to this jurisdiction, which would be the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. The judge asked if anyone knew of any other children in this jurisdiction. We believe that there could be three. And the same doctor that represents Sarah also represents another little boy who would fit in this category.
That boy is named Javier Acosta, and he's just a couple of months away from his 12th birthday. But without a transplant, doctors say may not make it, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So is he now in that same situation as Sarah? They have temporarily been moved to the top of the adult transplant list?
Not necessarily to the top. To be clear, we're not seeking preferential treatment for Sarah or Javier, just equal treatment on the list. Because they're now listed, whoever, you know, would need it based on severity would get the next lung.
Okay. So what about the other kids, those other 13 or 14 kids who nationwide would fit into the same category? They won't be affected by this judge's ruling. Would they be affected by a rule change by the people who are in charge of organ transplants?
Yes, they would be affected by a rule change. And the United Network for Organ Sharing is meeting on Monday. And we hope that they will read our pleadings, look at the statistics, and agree with us and set aside the rule. Or at least at a minimum, temporarily suspend the rule while the doctors can look at this some more and decide the best way to go forward.
All right. I know, Chad, that you're an advocate here for Sarah and Javier and perhaps these other kids as well. But can you explain to me what their argument is, the people, the organ-sharing people who make this rule, what their explanation is for having the rule the way it is in the first place?
Yes. Their explanation is, whenever there's this type of policy, you have experts and professionals that come up with a rule. And in this case, they studied organ donations, and this is the best rule that they thought could be made. Our argument is, it's time to revisit that rule. It was made in 2005. There have been studies that show that children can receive donated adult lungs. It's done in other countries. It's a medically suitable procedure. And so our point is, it's time to revisit that rule because we believe it now discriminates against children.
Javier's brother actually died because he needed a lung and couldn't get one, right?
That's correct.
Wow. I mean, this is just one of those heartbreaking stories. We're talking about 10 and 11-year-old kids who have... does Javier also have cystic fibrosis?
Yes, he does. It's also end stage. And I think an important thing to get out today is organ donation is very important. We're in this predicament because people do not donate organs.
Yep.
And you can really help save a life if you think about donating, you know, your organs. And I think everyone should think about that going forward.
Absolutely. When I talked about this story last weekend, I implored my audience to, it's just a little check mark. Usually when you go get your driver's license renewed, you just check that off. But you also have to make sure that your family knows that you want that done, because once you may have died and the hospital has your body, they're not going to be checking your driver's license. They're going to ask your next of kin, who have all the decision-making power now, what should we do? And if your family doesn't say, please harvest the organs, use it to save other people's lives, then that is unlikely to be done. And we do not have nearly enough people in America who actually take that proactive stance to be lifesavers.
That's correct. And I think everyone who, all the doctors who have discussed this issue would agree that the most important thing here is to get people on the donation list and so that they can donate to help solve this problem overall.
Okay, so this committee is going to meet on Monday and review the rule, but you only have a temporary restraining order for Javier and Sarah. How long does that last?
That lasts until Friday the 14th, when we will be back before the judge. Unless something happens before then, in which case we will argue the preliminary injunction and to try to get that extended.
Who's on the other side of that, HHS?
That's correct.
Okay, so they have a representative there who has to effectively argue, no, let these kids die because there aren't lungs there. What an awkward situation that puts them in. But if the rule is changed and you can make some progress here, that will save a lot of lives going forward. And, you know, I've said many times in the past, when you help out a sick kid, you're doing something noble. And Chad, when you're fighting legally to help out sick kids to make sure that the doctors can save their lives, that's noble too. So congratulations on your work, and I hope it continues to be successful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining me. That's Chad Holtzman, the attorney representing Sarah Murnaghan and Javier Acosta, two little kids who deserve a life. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Networks. America.